Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners. So give us a call if you would. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And Andrew, it's awfully nice to have you with us today, as always, yes, every indeed. Wednesday.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about foundations, and we've certainly talked about Jesus. And this week, we've really focused on the Word of God, that we need a standard for truth, don't we? We need a go-to place that can give us the answers that we're looking for. And the Bible, the Word of God, is that place. And today, we're going to read a passage out of John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. And we asked the question, what is the story of the Bible? And I tweeted out earlier today, the story of the Bible in one word, Jesus. Yeah. And this passage really underscores that. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he is telling them that, hey, listen, you guys don't have the love of God in your heart. You're missing the whole plan of God in rejecting me. And he gives this indictment toward them. You studied the Scriptures, and they did. They studied the Scriptures diligently, and they were hoping to find in them eternal life. But Jesus said, these are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. That's the story of the Bible. This Word of God from start to finish is God's testimony about his Son and how through faith in him we can have life. Not just, good feelings and that sort of thing, but a different quality of life than what we experienced apart from Christ. And that's good news, isn't it? That we can have eternal life in Jesus.
Yeah, there's it's sort of an application, I think, for us as believers today here, Bob, in this passage in John 5. It's that, you know, Bible study in and of itself doesn't mean relationship with Christ. We know lots of people who are experts in Bible texts. They have the New Testament memorized to some degree, maybe even the Old. There's some incredibly intelligent Bible scholars out there that are at institutions where they don't believe in the authority of Scripture, and they themselves, these professors who are Bible experts, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in some cases. I was in university and experienced that. This gentleman who was very smart, knew the Bible very well, had a lot of it memorized, said to me right after class one time, he said, Andrew, I love studying the Bible and I've studied it for decades, but when people come up to me and talk about some sort of born again experience and ask me if I'm born again, I don't know what to tell them because I don't know what they're talking about. And literally that was what he told me, and it just exposed to me what we're seeing right here in John 5, that we can be Bible experts and yet miss the life of Christ. And Paul said that too, that at the reading of the Old Testament, a veil was over their eyes. And that's what Jesus is saying here. A veil was over your eyes. You studied the Scriptures, but you did not see me in the midst of them. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. And you know, we look to the Bible as a guide. You know, we want to find the principles and the precepts to follow. And that's what so many people go into the Word of God to find. They're looking for help in a specific problem that they're dealing with. You know, I hope to find the answer there. And really, if they open their eyes, allow the Spirit of God to teach them, they're going to see that Jesus is the answer to all of those things, that faith in Jesus, trusting Jesus, walking with Jesus day by day is the very thing that they're looking for. And with Jesus in the picture, everything else kind of falls into place. So we've got to go into the Word of God and understand that we're there to get to know the author, to meet Jesus personally, to have an encounter with Jesus and allow him to change us from the inside out. So that's the purpose of the Word of God. That's why God moved in these men's lives over a 1,500-year period to unfold the story of Jesus so that we could have salvation, so that we could have life through faith in him. And once that life is inside a person, everything else kind of falls right into place. And we've seen that time and time again, and that's why we're on the air, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no greater message out there to proclaim. And, you know, if we were just making it about time spent in a book or time spent in a building, that might resonate with popular teaching and popular thought. But we're saying, hey, it's not about a book primarily. It's not about a building. I mean, sure, it's awesome to have the Word of God in print, and it's absolutely fabulous to meet together for fellowship and encouragement. But at the end of the day, if you were alone on a deserted island, you would still need divine life. You would need the life of Christ living in you. So in that sense, it's not primarily about a book or a building. It's about the living Word, Jesus Christ, living in us, and the written Word just backs that up 100%, and it reminds us of who we are and who he is in us.
Yes, indeed. Quick story about that. When I entered the University of Georgia way back in 1976,
long ago,
I wanted to be God's guy. You know, I'd come to Christ at a youth camp at 12 years of age, and really just got overwhelmed by the temptations of teenage life and all of that. And when I graduated from high school, it was like a big sigh of relief. I've got a clean slate. When I go to college, I'm going to be God's guy. And so I developed a Bible reading plan. I was going to read four chapters of the Bible every day. And I was going to start with the New Testament, start with the book of Matthew. And my whole purpose was not to meet Jesus, not to find out about Jesus. It was about how I could be God's guy. What am I supposed to do? How can I elevate my game to really be God's guy this time? And I remember somebody asking me, well, how was your Bible reading today? Well, I read, you know, Matthew chapters 5 through 8. Well, what did you learn there? Well, I read Matthew chapters 5 through 8. That's about as much as I could divulge as far as my understanding back then, because I wasn't seeing Jesus either. But when I finally figured out it was all about Jesus, boy, this Word of God just came to life. So we hope that's the case for you out there in Basic Gospel Nation, that the Word of God is coming to life for you as you realize that this book is all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what we try to communicate to you every day, friends, and we're glad you've joined us today. Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and again, thank you for joining us. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition, 844-322-2742. And want to remind you once again, this month we're offering a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to everyone who steps up to help Basic Gospel keep the message going. You know, grace is so much more than just God's unmerited favor. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace will show you the way to enter into the depths of grace that God has lavished upon us in Jesus Christ. Don't miss Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Francisco, California, and talk with Ray, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
We're doing well. How are you, my friend?
Okay, it's pretty nice here today. We had more rain than I've ever seen in years and years in California.
Yeah, y'all have had a lot of it out there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What's on your mind today?
Anyway, I wanted to discuss a little what you think. Why is most gospel teachers seem to complicate the word, I mean, horribly complicate, not a little bit, but throw in, you believe, trust in Jesus, but, you know, you have to do this and do that, which works in faith, I believe, and I think you'd agree with me too, should be, you come as you are, and then that's separate, your service for God and what you do, but to be saved, you just have to believe.
Well, that's right.
Am I right to say that?
Absolutely, Ray. I mean, you know, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, so that nobody can boast. So there shouldn't be any bragging involved. You know, the idea that I would have something to bring to God, here, God, look what I've brought you in terms of service or works, is laughable. It's an absolute joke. So, yeah, it's a simple message, saved by grace through faith, but you're absolutely right that people come along and say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, and we end up putting little addendums on the gospel. And when it comes to works, you know, there's a lot of confusion in the Christian world. We need to be saying that God has prepared works in advance, and our job is to wake up privileged. Walking right in them. I think of it as bowling pins. There they are. God has set them up in advance. It's my destiny, and it's my nature now in Him to bear fruit and to walk in these good works that He's prepared in advance. So to me, that means look how great God is in preparing it all, and the pressure's off. I get to wake up every day and have the privilege of participating in all that He's prepped for me. And so, you know, that's relationship. That's union with Christ. That's just the way it needs to work, as the vine and branches analogy so easily captures for us. I mean, we've got to be the branch. We can't be the vine. We have no business acting like a vine if we're the branch. So I agree with you.
Yeah, because all I hear is totally opposite. I mean, maybe I know you guys are good, and there's maybe, I don't know, you guys and two or three in the whole United States. I'm not kidding. Maybe I'm wrong, but everybody, like I said, they always say, without holiness, you won't see the Lord and all that. What they don't get is it's imputed righteousness. We don't have any of ourselves. So since you receive the Lord, wouldn't you have the righteousness? I mean, if you have to do, how is it a gift? If I say I'm going to give you a car, right, and you said you got to wash it for 8 hours, that wouldn't be a gift, would it? I mean, it'll be working for it.
Right. Yeah. No, I just recently bought an automobile for my wife, and I certainly didn't agree to spend 8 hours washing it every day. that's a great point. Yeah, Bob, you know, I think really it's like people think that everybody's got a handle on grace. And so it seems like what Ray is saying is, you know, you hear this teaching and that teaching and the other one, and people have sort of moved on from grace, like you graduate from grace, and oh, people already know that, so now all I'm going to do is talk about works. And that's certainly not the case, is it?
No, it's not. Grace is everything. It's the beginning of the Christian life. It's the middle of the Christian life. It's the end of the Christian life. I always tell people that if you look at the Word of God, and look at the first verse and look at the last verse, you'll get the priority. First verse, in the beginning, God. The last verse, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with his people. I think that's what tells us the priority as far as God is concerned. So our goal is simply to grow in grace, to find out what this grace of God is all about. We do so as the Spirit reveals it to us, and then just grow. Allow the Spirit to do his work in us. And we'll see that grace shapes every single area of our lives. I think Ray is hitting on a basic human tendency. We're prideful people, and we want to contribute. We want to add a little piece, even if it's just 1%. But that's not how God works. It's all of Christ. Christ did the work. We simply believe. And then we're included. Then we get to share in that life. And our responsibility is to walk by faith. And that's what we complicate. We don't know what it means to walk by faith. So we come up with a long list of rules and regulations. And we say, that's what faith is. If you'll read your Bible, that's what faith is. If you'll go to church, that's what faith is. If you'll give 10%, that's what faith is. Well, you don't have to be a Christian to do any one of those things. So that can't be faith. So faith has to be something different, and it's just that simple trust, that simple dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and allowing him to live his life through us. Yeah. If we'll keep it that simple, this Christian life will just make sense.
Yeah. Ray, thank you for your call. It was good to hear from you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Friends, I want to remind you that if you have a question you'd like to get us to answer or a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, including right now, or anytime, night or day. You can visit the special website, basicgospel.net/ask, to pose your question. Either way, we'll get your question and discuss it soon on Basic Gospel. Again, that's 844-322-2742, 24/7, or online at basicgospel.net/ask. Well, overnight we had a call come in with a very troubling and, I think, a question that perplexes some people. We'll let the caller identify himself.
Hi, my name is Phil. I drive an 18-wheeler, and I just started listening to your program on XM Radio 131, but here's what I wanted to say. A caller just called in and said he divorced his wife and remarried, and he was concerned that he was committing adultery and that he was going to go to hell because that's what he had been told. But I listened to a program on Sunday night, a call-in program at 9 p.m. It's called Bible Crossfire. And every Sunday night, this gentleman's telling people that they need to divorce their current spouse, try to reconcile with their first wife or spouse, or stay single the rest of their life. So they need to divorce their current spouse, leave their family, leave their kids, and they have to do this because it's the only way they can go to heaven someday. This is really disturbing to me. Every Sunday night, he's talking about the same issue. So he'll be talking about it again, telling people that they're going to hell unless they divorce their spouse. All right. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Phil, thanks for that question. And that's disturbing to me as well, to hear that kind of information is going out over the airwaves. You know, somebody that's divorced and then gets remarried, and then a spiritual leader, a minister, comes up and says, well, wait a minute, you need to divorce this one. So you need to sin. You need to divorce this person and go back to the other one. Well, you've just complicated matters so much, and I don't think that's how God works. I mean, that's not what the Word of God has to say. And he sure is, putting a lot on somebody's willingness to divorce the person they married, the second wife, to go back to the first as the test for salvation. You know, if you don't, you're not going to go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Word of God has to say, is it?
No. Yeah, you know, guys, this is coming out of really a misunderstanding of Matthew 5, I think.
You're right.
In Matthew 5, Jesus talks about divorce and remarriage. And, you know, when someone pulls out a single verse from Matthew 5 and tries to or sort of ram it down a Christian's throat today, you just want to stop. You want to hit the pause button and say, wait a minute. Have you plucked out your eye? Have you cut off your hand? Are you trying your best to be perfect like God is perfect? Are you offering animal sacrifices on a stone altar and getting right with your brother first? You know, are you ever getting angry at somebody because that's the same as murder? You know, are you ever calling someone a fool like Mr. T did? He pitied the fool, but, you know, he's in danger of the fires of hell if Matthew 5 all the way through is about a Christian going to hell. And my point is after you've cut off your hand and plucked out your eye and you're perfect like God, then we would have room to use Matthew 5 as a weapon to really belittle people that have experienced divorce. And in context, Jesus is really showing the Jewish audience of his day that they're not going to be able to earn righteousness, that they're not going to be able to do it. And, you know, when you get to the New Testament and you look at divorce and remarriage, I mean, there's all kinds of advice under the new covenant, under grace, in 1 Corinthians 7. The thrust of what Paul is saying there is, hey, don't change your status expecting some sort of different fulfillment in life. There's a lot of trials and persecution, and the time is short. And so if you're married, don't seek to get divorced. And if you're divorced, don't bother seeking to get remarried. And, you know, if you're single, you might want to think about that one as well. Maybe remain single, although wait a minute. Some people have a gift of marriage, and so they're free to marry. And, you know, Paul is back and forth basically saying, don't expect to change your marital status and then suddenly find fulfillment in this life, because Christ is our fulfillment. And I think that's really the thrust of 1 Corinthians 7. So when people take the attitude of that chapter wrongly, and then they go marry it, to no pun intended, but marry it to Matthew 5, and then sort of whittle out this doctrine that says you're dirty and distant from God and that you're an adulterer if you've ever been divorced, then people start feeling like the black sheep in God's family. And that was never God's intent at all. We need to remember, you know, marital status doesn't give us our righteousness, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think that's the point that really needs to be hammered, that we're going to be with God. We're going to be in His presence forever because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you mentioned to an earlier caller, Andrew, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. That is God's plan of salvation. And if we start adding works to it, if we say, you know, yeah, Christ saved you, but if you don't mind your P's and Q's, if you mess up here or do this or do that, then He's just going to kick you out. He's going to reverse everything that He did and take away your life. But that's not how this works. Once Christ comes to live inside of us, He is with us forever. And because He lives, we live. And we can be assured of that because His sacrifice was sufficient to take away the sins, not just my sins, but the sins of the entire world. So we have to recognize that that salvation is a gift. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. It's not our activities. It's His activity. And if we will get that right, all of these other questions, we'll have some really positive and wise answers that we can provide people other than trying to complicate their lives and make it much worse.
You know, the gymnastics that we do, guys, to try to counsel Christians, if we don't have the righteousness nailed down, the gift, the free gift of righteousness, then what people start hearing from us is, if you do this, then you'll be right with God. If you do this, then you'll be right. If you do this, then you'll be wrong with God. And so they think immediately in terms of right and wrong and right and wrong. And what we need to see is that rightness with God is called righteousness, and that is a free gift. As we've said in numerous ways from different angles, your marital status doesn't give you righteousness. Your moral behavior doesn't give you righteousness. Your righteousness is a gift from Christ, and that gift motivates how we think and how we act.
Absolutely. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Daniel, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Pleasure to get able to get through and ask this question. What is it that American Christianity, I suppose, or cultural Christianity and the history of Christianity, why is it that now, more so than not here in America, we see that, you know, it's not a gift. You have to work for it. Why? Where does this come from? Where does it stem from? Because if we compare American Christianity to, say, African Christianity, it's still Christianity. It's people of faith, but they have more blind faith and such an innocent and loving faith. And, oh, you have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, my first thought is, look, it's an American problem, but go back 2,000 years ago, and it's a Galatian problem. Go
yes.
back 2,000 years ago, and it's a human problem, isn't it?
A Corinthian problem, yes. It is, like I said earlier, we try to add to it. We don't understand what faith is, so we kind of come up with our own ideas of what faith is, and my idea is better than yours. That's where divisions come in. And we need to let the grace of God just kind of push that pride out and teach us really what it means to walk by faith, just to trust in the simplicity of Christ living His life through us. That's when Christianity becomes exciting. But I think it's been a problem with the church since the very get-go, and I think it's going to be a problem as long as we're here until the Lord comes back.
Well, interesting calls on the broadcast today, and Daniel, thank you for yours. You know, friends, many of you give month by month to help ensure that this message of God's love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ continues to march forward. You help to keep the good news going on the air and online. This month, we're making Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who step forward with a donation to this work that we call Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow. Bye-bye.